Thank you, thank you. I think it is now my turn to share some of the ideas that I thought since morning. I've been hearing about it. I don't think I was fully aware before coming here what was exactly happening. And I think Zia has touched one issue that is important. What was the original objective of the border heart? I think if I look at the idea, obviously it was to benefit the local people, to improve the connectivity between people to people. And I think on those areas at least we can see success, because if I look at, and I'm an economist, so I look at the data that was presented this morning, here is my observation. In one day or 4 days a month, if the income is about 73% of the total income, that means it was significantly boosting the local economy. To my understanding, very simply, if I look at the economic side, the moment it goes above 16% in 4 days, it means you are making in those 4 days more money than anywhere else. So obviously, from the discussion this morning, I realize that everybody wants to expand it. So that expansion automatically tells you the local benefit that is happening. That's one issue. The second issue that I always believe is important, and I think some of the people raised, in my understanding, is that it was 1965 that changed the boundary, which means before that, the local people were all connected to each other, not only in the family relationship, but also in terms of the market. It was 1965 after which the market was not there. But border is always a border, which means a remote from the center in any country. And this non-connectivity has pushed them, left them behind, and they needed some support, and this was one of the strategy. So when I look at from that point of view, it should automatically, and I can see that. But I think one of the other issues that was also raised, I think the last speaker in the last session also made, and I think it's very important, which is that one of the benefit is not just looking at direct, and this is the gender issue that has been raised by many people, not just looking at the gender issues, direct participation, how many vendors there. But if you look at the income growth, it benefits the society and obviously women, living standard, education and health. So those are the other benefits. I don't think it was properly covered in the research. But these are the significant benefit that should have been looked into. And I think those are the reasons why people from the border areas particularly are asking either increase of the border heart days or increase in the number of size of this. But obviously, and I think Zia has also mentioned about it, I think Ms. Shahag has also mentioned about it, which is whether this is going to create a distortion in the overall trade channels that happens in the formal. This is also a formal, but it's not as much as Zia has mentioned this, but there was no quarantine issue discussed. So I think given this, when I look at it, my own feeling is that we should stay in terms of the original objective. But if you want to do it more expansion in the sense that it will be a trade channel, then land customs is a better strategy to do it. So this is how I see it. I think we should be careful about it. But this could be used to promote local land market demand. In other words, if there is somebody, look at the data between this where the land border trade is happening and the land customs data, whether there is any correlation. My own feeling is that there might be a significant increase in business because of the border trade, and that could have been seen as a secondary benefit of the border trade. Obviously, Bangladesh is a large importer. India is one of the second or first, depending on which year we look into, the one of the importers. So obviously, we will have more demand from Indian goods. But the idea of border trade should be confined and should be used, for me, if I'm not wrong, for the benefits of the local people who are remote, living in remote places. And it should also extend, my own feeling is that, to not just goods, but also to some of the services, including health and other services. Because there are these services that could have been used. Doctor services could have been available across borders. These are also possible solutions that you can think about it. So some of the other services that could be used, and I think product expansion should look into that as an objective. This is how I see it. I'm talking from more of an academic, and the way I looked, I understood this since morning, I was listening to all of them. The other issue that has come, and this is an important, in expanding the trade list, my own feeling is this, that each area of a border has a difference in local demand and local supply. So confining it to what you call the category, if you look at this six-digit coding, could be a difficult one. So there should be more of a generalized idea. In somewhere you'll find out the supply of fruits are more important. In somewhere there'll be rice and fish. And this is already prevalent in the four studies that we have seen. So I think this should be taken care of when we negotiate further expansion or changes in the MOU. And I think this is how I would raise or flag some of the issues the way I look at it. The other issues, I think, if I look at it, in terms of not policy, but management issues are there. And I'm not sure how to solve it. Border Heart Committee is one solution, but I don't think everything they can do it. But that, I'm not sure whether we should look into MOU and do it. We may leave strategies for the local committees to deal with it. And I think there are real relevant issues. So the issues related to transportation, the issues related to what mentioned about it, toilets and others, these are very important issues, and I think this should be taken care of by the local committee. That's how I see it, is more important or more easier to solve it. At the same time, I think there was another issue raised, and I agree with that when you look at the small place and expand it, there should be expansion of areas also. I don't know the physical facilities, otherwise it would be difficult. From a history point of view, I think, and I think the study also mentioned that it has reduced some of the informal trading that would happen. In other words, people were connected. Since there was no formal strategy, they were doing it other way, and that's always the case. I remember the time when I was in Canada. So there was a friend of mine, Canadian, he was telling me why in Asia they have always smuggling happening, whereas in Canada, one side of the road is Canada, another side of the road is America, and nothing is happening. So I told him very simply as an economist, I said the reason is changes in the institutional rules and regulation. If the two countries differ in terms of regulatory structure significantly, this will always happen. So if border trade could actually ease up some of these regulatory differences, particularly that will help the local people, I think we should keep in mind the local people who live in remote areas. I know some of the areas in Bangladesh, at least in Sonamgon, these are highly remote areas. For them, going to school is also a problem. So given all this, I think if we focus on these as a benefit to both groups. Now the last issue that is important, and I'm not sure how to deal with it, which is the issue of local products. I'm not sure whether, if I look at from one point of view, and this is, and again my logic is, if I look at the two sides of the border, they're not significantly different in terms of physical look. As a result, what do they need is not what they produce. What do they need is products produced somewhere else, either at the national center, which becomes costly for them to bring, so border could be easy way to cross the same product. And I think you should look into that from the welfare of the local people, rather than looking at an alternative route of creating trade. I think the land customs should be used, and I think this is more or less will happen eventually. And we have 80s, I think Zia has mentioned 80s land customs. Around 80, 40 is operating. So the provisions are there. And I think over time, if you look at the history of our trade between India and Bangladesh, it is all increasing. It's not just going down. So I don't think the other businessmen should be worried about it. And that's very important for people to understand. In a country or in an economy that is growing at 5, 6, 7% growth rate, which is happening in Bangladesh, in India, very similar, the expansion of this business never reduces business in the other sector. Standard economic rules. So anyone thinking that this expansion will kill the other businesses is not going to happen. So I think we should look from that perspective and try to modify some of the changes that has been suggested. I think I will stop here. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let me also now invite our next speaker, Shobhasachi Dutta. Shobhasachi Dutta has been working with Asian Conference in Ceylon.